There's an old saying, and it goes something like this. Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Have you heard that phrase? Well, that's not what I'm talking about today, but I'm glad you heard that phrase. Well, to a degree, I'm kind of talking about it. It's kind of a reality that is true for us in the world that we live, whether it be in for nations and understanding history, whether it be for individuals, and as we see how life begins to transition. If we don't learn from the mistakes that we have made in the past, we will continue to go back and do the same things over again. It's just a natural way the things work for us. But I want to suggest to you that if we take it a little bit different way, we're going to see that today's psalm, as we continue to work through our look at the psalms and how they help us kind of balance and manage life a little bit better, that the psalm today is going to be a good place, because I'm going to say this. This is, you've never heard this before, because no one's ever said it exactly like this before. But those who do not learn that God is good will never abandon us, and will, even through the darkest times, help and guide us through. Will be doomed to be undone all along this roller coaster ride we call life. Because life is going to be always filled with ups and downs, peaks and valleys. And if we don't understand what God is doing, even in the midst of the valleys, when we come out of that valley, if we don't understand what God was doing there, the next time a valley comes, we'll be undone yet again. But God has a different plan for us. So that though we continue on this roller coaster ride that we call life, that we can move through it in a way that has a growing awareness of His presence, a growing awareness of His goodness, to the degree that even when we go into those difficult moments don't have the power to crush us, because God is already there, and God has already shown Himself to be faithful in the past. But we're wired to forget. That's just kind of how we are. Maybe you've noticed this. In fact, I'll put it up on the screen here behind me, that we are very quick to cry out when we get tossed by the storm, aren't we? Help God, I need you now. But once the storm has subsided, once the clouds have again parted, once the water then becomes calm, it is quick that we are to forget that God is the one who parted those clouds, that God is the one who calmed those seas, that God is the one who came to our rescue in the midst of that time of storm. We just kind of move along. And I'm not saying this is you. I'm saying this is all of us. This is just part of what it means for us to be human. We just tend to forget. I know I've said this before, and if you've been at New Life for a while, you've heard me tell this story of the fellow who is going to a job interview, and he is running just a tad behind. And so he knows in order to get that interview, to have a good first impression, he's got to get a good parking place. And as he pulls into the parking lot, he sees the lot is full. And he can envision himself doing this orbiting around, waiting for someone to pull out. And as he goes in, he is in full panic mode. So what does he do? What do we do when we're in panic mode? We cry out, don't we? Oh God, help me find a parking place so I'm not late. And just as he comes around the corner, right in front of the door, a parking spot opens up. And he says, okay God, never mind, I found one myself. Isn't that how we go? When we see it all come together, we say, oh, never mind. It's not so bad. I got through it. I was stronger than I realized. And we tend to forget that it was God all along who was doing what only God can do to help us through that stormy time. Now the problem is that when we do this, it steals from us the joy of life. We don't get the fullness of God's goodness, and so we don't get the fullness of that sense of gratitude for who God is and what He has done. And without that sense of gratitude, our life becomes a little less filled with joy. Maybe if you notice your life and you say, yeah, do a little self-evaluation, where's the joy meter in my life? And maybe if that joy meter is not running very good, it could be in this. There could be something today that we're going to talk about that's going to be helpful for you, because as we begin to come aware of what God has done, what God is doing, As we begin to allow that to lead us to gratitude, joy begins to well up in that. The second thing that often happens when we miss out on this because we think, oh, I got it covered, it worked out, never mind, is that we don't grow in our walk with Jesus. We don't grow through that difficult time, that valley experience. We don't allow in that valley for God to do the work of growing us to understand who He is, and that our trust doesn't grow. So that the next time when a challenge comes, we go back to square one. And the third thing that we miss out on is a sense of contentment. Because it is easy for us to always be looking at the things that we're missing. But by somehow seeing how God intervenes in the midst of our challenges, we begin to receive a level of contentment because we appreciate now what we have, not so much notice what we don't. So how do we do this? That's where I'm going to come today. We're going to look at Psalm 124. So again, if you have Bibles or your Bible app, I would encourage you, if you haven't already had a chance, it's a short little psalm. It's easy to read. It's something that we can do and kind of make a prayer pattern out of it. Because as we make something like this a prayer pattern for us, it helps keep us balanced along this roller coaster ride we call life. If you open your Bible, you'll see the first thing you notice is there's a little prescript right there at the beginning. It's not actually part of the psalm, but it gives a little introduction, and we don't know what this is, so usually we jump right over it. It says Psalm 124, a song of ascents of David. Now, if you've been reading through Psalms, you may have noticed this. Every once in a while, you come across one of these. I think there's 16 in across of the 150 Psalms that are in the book of Psalms. 16 of them have this little prescript in it. It says, a song of ascents. Three of those 16 are ascribed to David, that is King David, that he is the one who penned this psalm. And so we get a little sense of what's going on. This is a psalm of David, but it's called a song of ascents. And that phrase, for those of you who are not Bible nerds like me, you're saying, well, who cares or so what? What is that? I don't know. And if you ask me, what is that? I will tell you, I don't know. Sorry. There's some thoughts. What does that mean? We don't really know. It is a prescript that got applied to these 16 Psalms sometime after the exile in Israel. It wasn't written, David didn't write that, but this got ascribed later on, and they became part of the collection, that these were set aside to be songs of ascent. There had been different theories about what that might mean, that maybe this was a song that the Levitical priests would sing as people were coming into worship, as they were stepping up the steps into the temple, a song of ascents. As people were ascending to the temple, they would hear this psalm sung by the priest. That's one theory, not been proven. There's another theory that these were psalms that were often sung by the pilgrims coming to Jerusalem for their feasts, annual feasts and celebrations. As they were ascending to Jerusalem, some of these would be the psalms that would be recommended for the people on that journey walking to Jerusalem to be singing together. Whatever the way or whatever the reason that these got to be called songs of ascent, they are, the idea is that this is a time of preparation. This is a psalm to prepare our hearts for coming into the presence of God in worship. And so in a sense, what all of these songs of ascent could be, would be songs specifically designed to prepare our heart for worship, to illuminate our path to grow, to ascend in a Godward fashion. So for all of us who want to grow in a Godward fashion, that's what these psalms are for. That this is something that was selected and said, this is an important piece for us as we prepare our hearts to grow closer to God. And this particular psalm opens with an interesting question. And it's one for all of us to ask ourselves. But the question is this: if the Lord had not been on our side, what would have happened? It's kind of a hypothetical. You can't really go back and figure it out because God has been on your side. So you can't really go back into a situation, take God out of the equation to see exactly what was going to happen. But this is a question that is posed in order to help us remember what God has already previously done for us. Okay, so let's go ahead and read through the opening section here, and then we'll talk, how is this a pattern for our prayers? If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. When people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive, with their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, the raging waters would have swept us away. Now, the beauty of this is that the psalmist is using this incredible picturesque language here. But he's talking about specific things. Whether David is talking about a specific time when he was under attack or being persecuted for what, maybe it's when Saul was pursuing him, or maybe while he was king and he was facing rebellion that his son Absalom was leading against him. Whatever it was, there is something going on here for David that he is recalling a time when he was outnumbered, when he was surrounded, when things were looking bleak. And somehow, because God was on his side, something else happened, that the attackers were thwarted, that somehow he survived. And he points us out here. And here's where I would suggest that as you're reading through this, that we would then pause. I love this, the visual language, you know, how the flood would have engulfed us, how the torrent would have swept over us. We have to understand that that is the psalmist giving us room to insert our own story into this story. That if we could put a pause here, we would put the psalm on hold and begin to walk through our own stories. How have we seen God come through? When did we think that we were undone and somehow things still worked out? Was God in that? Absolutely. It's been about 20 years ago, actually, right at the beginning of New Life Community Church. It had just come very clear that the church that I was currently serving at that time and I needed to go different ways. Abundantly clear, mutually decided. The church was glad to be done with me, and I was glad to be done with them. So, won't go too far down that road. And so, the decision was made that we were launching New Life Community Church. Now, the problem was, one of the many problems in that was, that we lived in a home that was owned by my previous employer, the other church. And that home was for their pastor, and being I wasn't their pastor any longer, my wife and young family were asked to leave that home. Rightly so. That was a church, that was a house for that particular church's pastor, and I was no longer that. They were gracious and said, okay, you can have to the end of the month, which is about 2 weeks away. They could have kicked me out that day. I mean, I was no longer the pastor, so, but they gave us some time. Didn't know what we were going to do. People came, we prayed, we looked, we thought, talked to people who knew about real estate in the area. And I won't go into details except to say that in 2 weeks, this unemployed former pastor who had no money, no equity, no nothing, got a loan, found a house. It went through escrow. Again, I'm not stretching this out. This is 2 weeks. Closed, and we had the keys to move out on the first of that next month. I'm going to tell you that you can talk to anybody that you know that has anything to do with real estate, that is an impossibility. What I'm describing to you is a fairy tale. Can't happen. It happened. If not for the Lord being on your side, impossible things don't happen. But somehow, in the midst of the impossible, God has ways of doing things that don't seem possible. Now, over the course of 20 years, there's been times when I say things like, gosh, I wish his house was bigger. You know, I wish we had a larger living room so we could entertain more. You know, golly, you know, looking kind of drab. Is this really all we can do? And when I say that, I remind myself, well, I can always go get a paint can, you know. If I care about the drab part, I could get a hammer, I guess, and add on to the back of the house if I... No, I can't. But that's okay. I know people who could. But I'm reminded of what God did back then. That this is part of what God has done as a testimony of his goodness to me. And it changes the way I see the house. It changes the way I see where I was able to raise our boys. And it changes that whole thing. That whole equation gets changed because I'm able now to see it with God in the midst of all of it, which changes everything about it. And so as we look through a psalm like 124, I think it's important for us not just to read about, you know, David being attacked by others and nearly being swallowed alive by impossible situations. That David somehow fighting against this raging flood and this torrent which is about to sweep him away. You know, rather than see it and say, oh, it must have happened to David, that doesn't happen to me. Of course it does. How many of us have felt at times like we're about to be swept away by a raging flood? Now, you tell me what that flood is. It can be, you know, insecurities about where you're at with your job or with your housing. It can be difficulties you're having with your family or with your kids. It can be difficulties you have because of health or wondering about what your future is because of insecurity of your relationship. Whatever it might be, that we all have been in those places where we feel overwhelmed to the point where we think that we're not going to be able to come through this. And it's in those moments we need to begin to refill this prayer with stories of God's faithfulness that we've already received. Because that then leads us to the back half of the psalm. And here it is. So, not just the psalmist then changes his tune. And so now he focuses not on what happened before, not on the torrents and the flood and the attacks of before, but now he focuses here. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If we were to take one thing away from this psalm and put it in the light of what God has already done in our life, it's this verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If there's one thing that we ought to take and write and put on our mirror in our bathroom as we get up in the morning every day to open up our eyes as we begin our new day with this reality, that our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see, because as we begin to focus on that and allow that to be the heart of our moving out into the day, what challenge in the day that you're facing, and as difficult as some may be, is too big for the maker of heaven and earth? What situation in your life is going to be uncared about by this one who refers to himself as our help? Our help is in the name of the Lord. Every one of us, again, has peaks and valleys in our life, roller coaster we ride through. How do we see it? Do we see it as more valleys? The constancy of the valleyness of our life causes us to be beaten down and discouraged? Or does the constancy of God's goodness, which has led us through those past valleys, remind us and encourage us as we move forward into this day? All of us need to be reminded that if the Lord had not been our side before, then we would have been overwhelmed. But he was, and he is. Romans 8, 31 and 32 say this: what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, again, Paul puts it this way and puts it out there as a hypothetical. If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, okay? Because he was willing to give that much, we can be assured that he continues to be willing to give and to step in on our behalf. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Not that he gives us all things that we dream of, all things that we want, all things that we can imagine, but he gives us all things that we have need of. That doesn't take away loss in our life. That doesn't take away challenges in our life. That doesn't take away grief in our life. But it begins to insert God into the midst of even those dark places so that he can help us be not just light for us, but light and a testimony to those around us. So your assignment this week, you got homework, okay? Here's your homework. It's graduation week. We're talking about school, right? Okay, all of our graduates, you don't have to do the homework. Everyone else, you got homework assignment. Your assignment is this: to read through this prayer and to insert a dark time in your life that you thought would be too much for you, that somehow you got out the other side. And let that be the prayer focus for your week. Remind yourself of God's goodness in the little things and in the big things of his rescuing you in the past, and allow that to be the foundation, the cornerstone that we build our week on this week. As we look and bring God's goodness from the past into our present and into our future, it begins to give us a whole new attitude as we move into life. It even begins to color some of those dark places, some of that grief that we still bear, some of that loss that we still feel. That some of that stuff can still be there, but yet it gets colored by God's goodness, even in the midst, so that though it is still painful, we feel God's healing along with it. There is something powerful that this psalm kind of opens up for us. And so I invite you to make that your prayer as we move into this week. I'm going to pray over us, and then I'm going to step away. I'll let the worship team come and guide us as we continue, as we wrap up today. But what a blessing that we have with the Lord's presence, even in the midst of our dark times. So, Father, we thank you that you are that cornerstone that we can build upon, that your goodness, even in the midst of terrible tragedy, your goodness is still there for us. You are still our hope. You are still our help. You are still the one who comes through, and we have seen you time and time again. Father, forgive us for those moments when out of our own smallness, we tend to forget, we tend to overlook, we tend to be overwhelmed in the midst of the present, because we begin to forget who you are. Help us in this morning to walk in that awareness, to allow your strength to be our help today, to allow your guidance to be our next steps. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.